أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So inshallah, today we're going to be covering Surah Al-Nazi'at, the second surah of this juz. But before we begin, I would like to just refresh you all on some basic concepts about the concept of Akhirah. If you remember back in Surah Al-Fatiha, we asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the core dua, which was اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers this dua right in the next surah, which is Surah Al-Baqarah, by saying after Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. You wanted guidance? I'll give you guidance through that book. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ. Which book? Which book is he talking about? The Qur'an. So the answer of our dua, we asked Allah for guidance, we asked Allah for instructions. The answer of the dua was, I gave you the Qur'an. So now, a reminder for myself and everybody here is, if we do ask this, or we make this dua every day 17 times, that Ya Allah, guide us. Ya Allah, show me my instructions. Give me the instructions. What do I need to do to become your slave? Allah said, the answer is the Qur'an. So the question is, where is our relationship with the Qur'an? Every single one of us needs to ask himself this question. How do I stand in terms of my relationship with this book? Do I really see it as a guide for myself? Do I really study it with the intention of gaining guidance rather than gaining knowledge? And a fundamental part or a fundamental message of this book is Akhirah. And if Allah said that this book is guidance for us, then even the topic of Akhirah is for us as well. Now, one thing I was fearing is, as we talk about Akhirah throughout Juz' Amma, in the back of your minds, all you're thinking about is the disbelievers, the kuffar of Mecca, the Quraysh. And you forget who? Yourself. And unfortunately, this is what has happened, right? The Muslims, they keep on, you know, pointing fingers, and this is called diffusion of responsibility. When it comes to the topic of Akhirah, we diffuse the responsibility, and we think that Allah is only talking to the disbelievers. He's only talking to the kuffar of Quraysh. But let's go back and think about it. Where do Muslims stand in terms of their belief and their yaqeen, their certainty in the Day of Judgment? Remember I told you there's a difference between knowledge and thinking about something? If not, does knowledge alone result in change in your attitude? It doesn't. Ask any Muslim in the world today, do you believe in the Day of Judgment? What will they say? Yes, for sure, of course. But does that result in a change in their character, in their attitude? No. What will result in a change in the attitude? It is when you think about this day. It is when you ponder and think deeply about this day and that it is coming. And in these ayat that we're reading today, inshallah, as we read them, I want you to think about the fact that Allah is reminding of these ayat to strengthen our belief of the Day of Judgment. Because when we think about it deeply, it will have an impact in our character and in our attitude. Right? So, as we read the Qur'an, and advice for myself and you, as you read the Qur'an, always connect yourself to the ayat. When Allah talks about the people of Jannah, deep down inside, you're supposed to be making this dua, Ya Allah, make me of the people of Jannah. When Allah talks about the hellfire, Ya Allah, protect me from the hellfire. When Allah says, Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsineen, Ya Allah, make me of the muhsineen. You know? And so, always connect with the Qur'an and seek guidance from it, not just plain knowledge. So today's surah, Surah Al-Nazi'at, surah number 79. There's 46 ayat in this surah, and again, it is a Mekki surah, primarily because the message of Mecca was three things. Remember what it was? Who can remind me? Three things was the basic theme of the 13 years of Mecca. Number one, belief in Allah, belief in Akhirah, and belief in the message, the Risala, which includes the books, the Prophet ﷺ and the Qur'an and the angels, okay? And so again, the topic is Akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the Nafs al-Lawwama in Surah Al-Qiyamah. I swear by the guilty conscience. And so the guilty conscience that we have inside of us, that is a sign in and of itself that the Day of Judgment does exist. Okay? At the same time, we said that there's a logical argument of the existence of the Day of Judgment. If you believe in Allah, you will realize that this world is unfair. And therefore, the only way that Allah, through His perfection, will establish justice is if we have an afterlife where everything will be settled. Okay, so this is a logical argument that's so obvious that Allah, you will notice in the surah and even in the previous surah, Allah didn't explicitly mention akhirah. He called it what? He called it a naba', the great news, right? Similarly, today you'll see that Allah won't even answer and He won't explicitly talk about the Day of Judgment. It's as if it's a given. It's as if by fitrah, your human nature realizes that there is going to be accountability because of that guilty feeling you have whenever you make whenever you commit a sin. Every one of us, when we commit a sin, there's this guilty feeling, right? This itchy feeling inside, this feeling of regret. That, oh my God, why did I do it again? And some of us, we cry out of guilt. Some of us, we get into a bad mood. Sometimes, you know, we can't sleep at night just because of that guilt. That in itself is a built-in system to remind you that there will be accountability. There is a sense of justice and there will be a sense of accountability. So there's, as always, we're going to look at the overall picture of the surah before we dive in. Very important for us to see the big picture. Unfortunately, nowadays we have people like, you know, extremist people who think about, you know, deen as a way of killing innocent people and Daesh and ISIS and all this. These came out as a result of microscopic understanding of the Quran. Whereas Allah wants us to look at the macro picture of the Quran. So that applies to even when we study surahs. We can't just look at one ayah separately. We have to look at the overall surah, overall picture. What's the overall message? Okay? And that's what surah is actually. Surah comes from the root word sur, which actually means a gate. Think of it like a gate of a city where there's just so many things happening, right? But there's like this boundary. And so for you to just pick and choose certain ayat, that's doing injustice. So what's the overall layout of the surah? There's going to be five parts to this surah. The first part, Allah's going to start with oaths. Qasam. Okay? And we'll talk about that in a bit. The second part is Day of Judgment. Third part will be Musa alayhi salam story with Fir'aun. All of a sudden, like Musa is going to come up in Juz'amma. Okay? So it's interesting how he comes in. Right? What's going on with Musa alayhi salam story in Fir'aun? And then fourth section will be reflection on the ayat of Allah. Again, you notice? Surah An-Naba also reflection on the ayat of Allah. And then fifth part will be the conclusion. So let's review the five parts. Part number one, oaths, qasam, okay? Part number two, Day of Judgment, scenes. Part number three, Musa alayhi salam story with Fir'aun. Part four, reflection on the ayat of Allah. And part five, concluding remarks from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this actually, a lot of mufassirun see this as a pair of Surah An-Naba, okay? MashaAllah, there's a party going on in the sister section, I think. Yeah? Too much. So, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing. Now, before we get into the details of the meaning, why does Allah swear and when do we swear? Number one, we swear when we want people to believe what we say, right? I swear I saw an elephant outside, right? If I said I saw an elephant outside, nobody would believe me. But if I say I swear I saw it, you guys will take me more seriously, you'll believe me more, correctly? And we also swear when we express anger. I swear, man, if you don't stop, man, I'm going to get you. Right? So swearing here also is alluding to the fact that Allah is upset with these people who are not believing in the Day of Judgment. And another beautiful reason why Allah swears is Allah uses the object of swearing, the object of oath, as an evidence to what's coming next. Okay, so to give an example, Surah Al-Asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by time. And then the answer of the qasam is what? Human beings are in a state of loss. What's the biggest evidence that human beings are in a state of loss? Time. Time is a witness to the fact that most people are losing. Most people are losers. Look at the previous nations, the destruction that happened. So Allah is going to be swearing by وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا in the beginning. Now what does نَازِعَات mean? It comes from the root word نَزَع, which means to pull out violently, to yank out, okay? And there's two views that Mufassirun have. This is one of those ayat, this is متشابهات. There's no clear-cut black and white answer. One view, or the majority view, is that these are angels who pull out the souls of the disbelievers, the bad people. The angels go into their bodies. غَرْقًا means to dive into the bodies. And they snatch out their souls very violently. Okay? That's one نَازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا. That's one view. The other view is, this is talking about the winds. The winds, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the storms that dive into cities and then yank out the trees from their roots. They yank out the buildings. They yank out the houses. You ever seen these? Right? We've seen videos of this on YouTube, right? And so that's what Allah is describing. So it's either angels or winds. And, you know, one or the other, we don't know what Allah really means, but both are beautiful. And this is part of the beauty of the Quran, that you can actually have different perspectives, and both are beautiful, both are things that you can appreciate. Okay? So, angels pulling out, yes. Yes, so I'm going to be discussing both in parallel, because I like both views, so we're going for both, inshallah. So when Nazi'ati gharqa, the angels as they pull out aggressively, and the winds as they pull out the trees aggressively. Then Allah says, when nashitati nashta. This is the opposite now. Then Allah is talking about nasht, which means to untie a knot very easily. You know how like you untie shoelaces? Very easy to do, right? Not, it doesn't require effort. So Allah is talking about the smooth pulling out of the souls. Now He's contrasting with the believers when it comes to the angels. And in terms of winds, Allah is describing the smooth winds, the relaxing breeze. Okay, so there's a contrast between violence for the disbelievers and smoothness and peace and relaxation for the believers. And then Allah says, وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحَا. When these angels, they pull out the souls, they swim. سَابِحَات from سَبْحَا, which means to swim. Okay? So وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحَا, swimming smoothly, gliding. Allah is describing the angels as they swim and float up back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He's also talking about the winds that float and glide. And then Allah says, فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقَى. Sibaq is a race. This is where the angels are racing back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after pulling out our souls. And the winds as they race one another, as the clouds race against one another. And then Allah says, فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرَى. Mudabbir comes from tadbir, which also tadabbur is from there, which is what we're trying to do here, reflect, right? Tadabbur comes from the root word dubur, which means your back, going back. So in Quranic perspectives, when it comes to tadabbur, what are we doing? We read an ayah and then we go back and say, wait. Why did Allah say, amma yatasa'alun? Let's think about it. Instead of just going forward, you press on the brakes and you go back to the ayah. Why did Allah say, anin naba'il azim? Why not khabar? This is tadabbur, going back and reflecting. And so, فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرَى are angels who, before they execute the plan of Allah, they step back. فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرَى. And it also talks about the winds as they execute Allah's commands. There are certain winds that send storms. There are certain winds that distribute pollen for, you know, plants and life. There are certain winds that distribute dust. So there's different types of commands that these winds and these angels are fulfilling. Okay. So the question now is, when I say I swear, what are you waiting for? The object of the oath, right? What am I swearing by? I swear I'm going to hit you. I'm going to hit you is the answer of the oath, correct? Here, strangely, Allah doesn't answer the oath. He's saying, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحَى فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقَى فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرَى and blank. Allah swore about all these things, but He left the jawab al-qasam blank. What's the significance of that? Number one, I already told you. It's given. Allah is talking about the Day of Judgment. It's already given, and you need to figure out for yourself. The other beauty of this is Allah's kind of encouraging us to look elsewhere for the answer in the Quran. And the other meaning here is, fill in the blank for yourself. I just told you what angels are capable of doing under my command. I just told you what the winds are capable of doing under my command. So, what is the Day of Judgment? What is resurrection? What is bringing you back to life? That's nothing. That's a piece of cake for me. So, by using these qasams, He's actually answering the question of, Day of Judgment, kya hai? Nothing, man. If all these angels are doing all these things for me, then what's the Day of Judgment? يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةِ Part 2, Day of Judgment now. The day when rajf is going to happen. What is rajf? Rajf is a rattling or extreme violent shaking. Okay? That's called rajf. يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةِ Allah describes earth as rajifa. It's beautiful. Here Allah called earth rajifa. Why? Because it's as if Allah is saying the earth's job is to shake and rattle. But who is stopping it from shaking? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Remember the name Ar-Rahman? He's being merciful with us right now. By stopping the earth from shaking, Allah is being Rahman with us. This earth was designed to shake. And similarly, we'll see in إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالِهَا. The earth is designed to shake, and for the earth to have an earthquake. It's designed that way. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, prevents it from happening, subhanAllah. And so, here we'll notice that there's a reverse order between a Naba and Surah An-Naba and An-Nazi'at. In An-Naba, if you remember, there was a questioning, عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ, and then there was a description of Day of Judgment, correct? You'll notice in this surah, Allah describes the Day of Judgment, and then questioning will come later on. So it's kind of like a mirror image of the previous surah. So not only is the earth shaking, what's happening to the human being internally as the earth shakes? He is shaken internally. يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَ. Okay, his heart will be shaking. His heart will be pounding. So Allah is describing the state of the human being on this day. The externally everything is shaking, and internally everything is shaking. تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَ. What follows it is another shaking. Allah is here alluding to the second blowing of the trumpet. Okay, and radifa comes from radif, which is, you know, when you're riding a camel back in the days in the Arabs, the person sitting in the back, the passenger seat, that would be the radif. Okay, so something that follows the previous shaking, the second shaking. قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاجِفَةٌ. Now Allah is describing internally what's happening to the hearts of the people on that day. قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ. Hearts that on that day will be wajifa. Wajifa. Wajaf is another meaning of fear. But here, this is a specific type of fear where your heart is pounding. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I remember first time I was public speaking, my heart was pounding. Okay? You feel like it's going to come out. That's wajf. Okay? Similarly, if you're the first time you go to an interview, applying for a job, that's wajf. That's what's happening to the hearts on that day. And Allah doesn't say, you know, that it is it's not a verb. That qulubun yawma'idhin satujif. Allah says wajifa, which means what? They're going to continue pounding. SubhanAllah. You know, when I was nervous with public speaking, it lasted for 5 minutes. After that, I relaxed and everything was all right. In the interview, in the exam, it's pouncing, the heart is pounding for a minute or two, and then you're fine. You adjust to the situation. But on the Day of Judgment, the heart will continuously pound. It's not going to stop. SubhanAllah. قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ wajifa. And wajaf usually also, Allah here is saying that the Arabs back in the days, the horses, they used to actually smack them to make them scared so that they could run and win the race also. So they would use this wajaf to smack the horses, their animals, to make their horse also race faster and faster. Okay, so Allah is also alluding to that nature of those Arabs back in the days. And of course, here Allah is describing that the disbelievers in dunya, what are they doing with the Day of Judgment? They're making fun. They're cracking jokes. They're being sarcastic. But on that day, these hearts will be full of fear, whether they like it or not. So in a way, Allah's going to hint to this later on, you'll see. Allah's saying you have two options. Either you can fear the Day of Judgment now and chill in Jannah, or chill now and have that fear on the Day of Judgment. That fear is bound to come in your hearts. But it's up to you whether you want to have that fear now or you want to delay it for the Day of Judgment when it's too late. أَبْصَارُهَا خَاشِعَ. Then Allah describes the inside of the hearts. Now basira, very beautiful word in the Arabic language. Basar means to see. But basira is when your heart, your inside, when you see something and it helps you reflect and increase your understanding of something deeper. That's called basira. Okay, and it's a dua that we all have to make. That, Ya Allah, increase my basira. When I see things, I increase my understanding of things that I see with my eyes. So it's not just physical definition, physical understanding. We're talking about intellectual, deep understanding. Okay, so Allah is describing their hearts, أَبْصَارُهَا خَاشِعَ. Their eyes and their hearts will be خَاشِعَ. خُشُوع or خَشِعَ is another meaning of the word fear in the Arabic language. Now, if you look at the translation of wajaf, it will be fear. If you look at the translation of خَاشِعَ, fear. That's the sad reality of translations. There's no depth in it. There's so many subtleties that are missed in translation when you read the translation. But the Arabic language is so rich that for every situation, there's a different meaning for fear. So we looked at wajf, now we're looking at khushu'. Khushu' is a type of fear where not only is your heart filled with fear, but your face is expressing that fear, and your entire body, your entire limbs are in a state of fear. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes as the state of the believers in their salah. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that the believers have succeeded. Which believers? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The believers who, whenever they pray, they are in a state of complete fear, where the fear has taken over their entire body. Subhanallah. And nowadays, we walk in the masjid and we see, you know, people scratching their head, they're checking the time, phone is ringing, you know. They're looking upstairs, you're looking up at the lights, you're looking at the fly, you know. Where's the khushu' gone? So Allah's saying, on that day, the absar will be khashi'ah. The hearts and the eyes. You won't be able to look up. You know how sometimes when you mess up in an exam, right? The teacher is handing you the exam. Do you even have the guts to look him in the eye? You don't. You just look down, take the paper, you roll it, and then you hide it, and you just walk away, right? You don't even have the guts to look. It's that sense of guilt, that sense of regret that Allah is describing here. And so believers have khushu' in dunya. Disbelievers will have khushu' on the Day of Judgment. You see the contrast here again? يَقُولُونَ, what do they say? This is where now they're making jokes. This is where they're questioning. The sarcasm. يَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ. Are we going to return back to this hole? Which hole are they talking about? The grave, right? So they're questioning resurrection. That after we've gone into the graves, we're going to come back out again? Are you serious? What's the point of coming out? أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخِرًا, when we were just bones, what's the point of coming out if we're just bones? You know, you ever seen like in movies, you know, where there's zombies walking around with like arms basically, you know, hanging down, and like the whole body's just basically torn apart? They're making fun of this scene. They're like, what's the point of being resurrected if all our bones are nothing? They're broken. They're you know, our flesh is all finished. It's deteriorated. It's rotten. What's the point of resurrection? They're making a joke of this scene. قَالُوا تِلْكَ إِذَنْ كَرَّةٌ خَاسِرَةٌ. They're again joking. That is such a pointless, you know, repeat. Pointless return. There's no point of being resurrected. What's the point of being resurrected if we're already deteriorated? Our bodies, you know, are already, you know, rotten. They're making fun. They're being sarcastic. Allah says, فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. In Surah An-Naba, Allah shut them up how? By saying, كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. Remember? Stop. Wait and see. You will know. Here Allah is shutting them up by saying, فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. All it will take is one blow, one shake, one loud voice, one loud scolding, and they will all be quiet. They will have their answer. They will stop their mocking. They will stop their sarcasm. All it's going to take is one loud scolding, which is again alluding to the trumpet. Okay? فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. You don't need any more. Just one is enough. فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ. Beautiful ayah here. When that loud, you know, scolding happens, فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ. It has two beautiful meanings. Sahira, one of the meanings of sahira is a plain field. Wide, plain, flat field, which is describing the scene on the Day of Judgment. And, you know, according to the hadith, we will be all resurrected and we will be held accountable on the Day of Judgment in one piece of land. Who knows where? Which piece of land will it be on earth? Arafah, yeah. Okay? And so that's one explanation of this. And subhanAllah, Sahira, the words, have you heard Sahara Desert? It's inspired by the Sahira. So plain land, wide land that's flat. Allah's going to make it flat to fit all the human beings. And another meaning of Sahira from Sahar, which means to stay up late, not sleep. On that day, when that loud sound comes, sleep will be eliminated from our lives, subhanAllah. You'll be awake from that point onwards. No one's going to be like, oh, yaar, need aariye, yaar, soje tora. No, khalas, man. The trumpet is blown. No time for sleep. It's over. And, you know, as we know also in Jahannam, there will be no sleep. Because sometimes, you know, when you're upset or when you're hurt or when you're angry, how do you heal that anger or that depression? By going to sleep. You disconnect, you're like, khalas man, I don't want to deal with this, I'd rather sleep. And if you can't sleep, you take a Panadol night or some, you know, sleeping pills, and you just knock yourself out to avoid facing reality, you know? You're in a state of denial. And so Allah's saying, on that day, you'll be sahira, you'll be wide awake. There's no denial, there's no avoiding that moment. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى Now transition happens. And one thing I wanted to tell you about transition in the Quran, beautiful. If you want to know, this is a tip for you, if you want to know that the subject is changing in the surah, just listen to the rhyme scheme. Okay? Look at how it changed. Earlier, we were talking about قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاجِفَةٌ أَبْصَارُهَا خَاشِعَةٌ يَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخِيرَةً قالوا تلك إذا كرة خاسرة فإنما هي زجرة واحدة فإذا هم بالساهرة Change of subject now. هل أتاك حديث موسى إذ نادى ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى You noticed the change in the rhyme? That's explaining how the subject is changing, subhanAllah. So if you ever want to know how the subject changes, let's just look at the end of the sequence of the rhymes. So, did you hear about the news of Musa? Did you hear about the news of Musa? Allah is now talking to who? To the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, what's the connection between Qiyamah and Nazi'at and, you know, the Day of Judgment, and all of a sudden Musa? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is consoling the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also is dealing with a group of people who deny the Day of Judgment, the Quraysh. And he's being frustrated, isn't that true? Right, for 13 years, you're trying to explain to them the concept of the Day of Judgment, but they're making jokes out of it. So Allah decides to tell them a story of Musa. And in the story, Allah's consoling the Prophet ﷺ. That don't be frustrated. There were prophets that were sent before you that were in the exact same situation. They also had to deal with, you know, people who denied, people who were messed up. And let me give you specifically the story of Musa. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى And hadith is a type of news that is new. From hadith. Hadith means something that's new. Now, the Prophet ﷺ already knew the story of Musa. But what is Allah trying to say here? Let me refresh you on the news of Musa. It's as if you're hearing it for the first time again. Because subhanAllah, insan forgets, right? So we need to be refreshed over and over again of the story of Musa. Do you remember the story of Musa? Allah is addressing the Prophet ﷺ. And it's as if Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ, you need a mentor. Your mentor, your ideal mentor is Musa. Why? Because you, Ya Rasulullah, you were just sent to Quraysh, group of people. Musa was sent to who? Fir'aun, the ultimate enemy of Allah. Okay, can you think of a worse character in the Quran than Fir'aun? No. Okay, so Musa had a bigger job to do. He had to face the guy himself, Fir'aun himself. The person who used to kill babies every other year as a policy. The person who enslaved an entire nation, Bani Israel. The person who said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى He claimed to be the master of his people. Okay? Not only did he disobey Allah, he claimed to be Allah. He claimed to be the Rabb. So, إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى Allah is now taking us back to that scene where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called on Musa. إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ When His master called unto him in the sanctified valley of Tuwa, in the sacred valley of Tuwa. What did he say to him on that day, in that moment? And subhanAllah, before we move on, who else was given revelation in a place that was special? The Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ got revelation in Hira. Musa ﷺ got the revelation in the sacred valley of Tuwa. So there's parallels being drawn here. Just like I gave the message to Musa, in the valley of Tuwa, I gave you the message also in Hira. اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. What's the command given to Musa? Go to Fir'aun. He has rebelled. He has crossed the limits. Remember the slave? What defines a slave? The boundaries, right? Allah says, and we say, we claim to say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ يَا اللَّهُ We will stick to your boundaries. That's a commitment we make. That's the handshake we did with Allah. In Surah Al-Fatiha, remember? What was the handshake? Iyyaka na'budu ya Allah, and we need your help, but we need your we will worship you, Allah, but we need your help. That's the deal we struck with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the one who does tughyan or tagha is the one who transgresses these limits. The one who decides, I don't want slavery. I want freedom. I want to relax. I want to enjoy. I want to party. I don't want these rules. I'm fed up of these rules. So why was he sent to Fir'aun? Because Fir'aun transgressed. Okay? اذهب إلى فرعون. For sure, he has crossed the limits. And اذهب means go right away. Don't think twice. Just go. Okay? Just go. فَقُلْ. Now Allah's giving him training. فَقُلْ. What are you going to say? How are you going to say it? فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى. This is such a beautiful ayah. Say to him with soft words. هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى means, do you have any desire to purify yourself, O Fir'aun? Just think about it. Allah is telling Musa, go to Fir'aun, the biggest enemy of Islam, okay, and speak to him soft words. Suggest to him, hey Fir'aun, you have any desires to purify yourself? This is a lesson for us to do what? To never ever judge anybody. Now Fir'aun is a pretty messed up person. I mean, like I told you, he used to kill thousands and hundreds of thousands of babies every other year. He enslaved an entire nation. He called himself Rabb. Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. Allah is saying, even Fir'aun, there is hope for him. Go and speak to him softly. Maybe, perhaps, he will decide to cleanse himself. So who are we to judge people? Who are we to say, no, this guy, khalas, guaranteed hellfire. This guy, no hope. You know, this guy is munafiq. We just keep dropping judgments on people. And here we're learning from Musa alayhi salam, try with patience, speak softly to Fir'aun, perhaps he may purify himself. And subhanAllah, here is another beautiful lesson. Musa wasn't sent to Fir'aun to tell him, go pray, go fast, you know, grow a beard, shorten your thobe. It wasn't about laws. What was the first objective of Musa's conversation with Fir'aun? Purify yourself. Tazkiya. فَهَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى. You want to purify yourself? And tazkiya in the Qur'an alludes to two things. Tazkiya of the heart, purification of the heart, and purification of the mind, purification of the way we think. And unfortunately, we're living in times where both of these are corrupted, right? The hearts are corrupted with our shahawat, with our desires, with arrogance, with greed, with jealousy, with all these bad diseases of the spiritual heart, spiritual diseases. At the same time, our minds are polluted, corrupted with doubts, with useless information, with all the information and social media and pointless movies and dramas. We're just polluting our mind with junk. You know, a lot of us who are health conscious, we're concerned about what food we eat, right? We eat healthy food to stay fit, but we don't take care about what information is going on in our mind. We're reading junk every day. We're watching junk every day. We're seeing junk every day. And what's more precious, your stomach or your mind? Think about it. What's more precious, your heart or your stomach? So we're not concerned about cleansing our hearts and our minds anymore. Whereas this is what the Fatiha is also teaching us, remember? غَيْرَ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. What was their problem? A spiritual problem, right? They knew what needs to be done, but they had desires. They needed spiritual healing. What about ضَالِّين? They were lost. They were doing stuff, but without any knowledge, ignorance. Where was their problem? Intellectual healing, right? Intellectual cleansing. They needed intellectual cleansing. So you see how Fatiha is coming over and over again? Remember I told you yesterday, Fatiha is the table of contents of the Quran? Any page you look at, you can go back to Fatiha in it. And so, فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَى. Hey Fir'aun, how about I guide you to your master, so that you may instill a sense of fear in you. Imagine Musa telling Fir'aun, how about I guide you to the real master? You're calling yourself master, how about I guide you to the real master? And when you come to realize the real master, remember, Rabb? What were the five meanings of Rabb? Number one, caretaker, al-murabbi. Al-Malik, Al-Mun'im, remember? The owner, Al-Mun'im, the one who gives you gifts over and over again. Al-Qayyim, the one who you're dependent on all the time. And Al-Sayyid, the authority, the one who has rules over you. Musa's telling Fir'aun, do you have any desire that I may guide you to your master? Because if you come to know the master, what's going to happen in your heart? Fatakhsha. You will have this sense of fear. You will stop having this arrogance. Because you know, people who have arrogance in their heart, they don't fear anything. That's the big problem of Fir'aun. He has an ego issue. And so by realizing that he has a master that's a higher authority, what's going to happen to his ego? It's going to be dissolved. And he will be someone of who has khashya, who has fear in him. And here, I want to talk a little bit about the concept of fear. You know, unfortunately, sometimes we tend to like to censor out verses and topics that have to deal with fear in the Quran. You know, parents sometimes request me, Brother Fahad, we invite you for a talk, but please don't talk about Jahannam. Don't talk about the Day of Judgment. It's too harsh on our kids, man. Just talk about the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talk about mercy. Talk about Jannah. Talk about the hur so they can enjoy themselves. But wait a second. Allah is talking about Qiyamah over and over and over again. He's talking about fear over and over again. He's talking about the Day of Judgment and death over and over again in the Quran. Yes, there is a balance between hope and mercy, but is it justice to censor out the ayat of fear? Of course it's not justice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, through the Quran, as you study the Quran, you'll come to a conclusion that fear is a necessity for a believer. Because like I told you, the only way you will change your attitude, the only way you will change your behavior is if you have that fear in you. Going back to the smoking brother, I keep going back to the smoking brother in my examples. But the smoking brother, he already knows, he has knowledge that smoking kills. Smoking causes lung cancer. But what's going to make him stop? Fear. Fear of death, fear of accountability, fear that he will be questioned. That's the only thing that's going to stop him. You know, think about back in the days, you know, I used to have friends who used to smoke secretly. You know, we used to have sleepovers at our friend's house, and they would be smoking in the bathroom. And the moment the parents came back home, what would they do? Immediately, they would flush the cigarette, get the perfume and air freshener out, and the, you know, breath mints and stuff, and wash their mouth and brush their teeth. Why? What made him stop and put off the cigarette? Fear. So it's a necessity for us, brothers and sisters. So again, وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَى فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَىٰ. What did Musa do to Fir'aun? He showed him the big sign, the big miracle. What was it? There's a difference of opinion, but the majority opinion is, it was the staff turning into a snake. That was the big sign. Because that is the sign that Fir'aun basically demanded that he compete with his own magicians, remember? فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَىٰ. Again, Fir'aun was shown the miracle of the staff turning into a snake. What about the Quraysh? I want to keep the parallels now with the Prophet ﷺ and Quraysh. What was the miracle of the Prophet ﷺ? What was the ayat al-kubra of the Prophet ﷺ? Come on, guys. Quran. Okay, so Musa had a stick. The Prophet ﷺ had the Quran. Fir'aun accused Musa of magic, being a magician. Prophet ﷺ was accused of being a magician. You see the parallels? SubhanAllah, over and over again. فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى. Now Fir'aun was given soft advice. Da'wah. This is all da'wah training for us. Okay? When you deal with anybody, even if it's the worst. By the way, do you know anyone who can be worse than Fir'aun? No, right? I don't know anyone who has killed hundreds of thousands of babies, personally. So, again, advice for those of you who are active in da'wah, soften your voice, never ever judge people, and you know, be people who are optimistic, people who are welcoming. Da'i means to invite. You would never invite someone you hate to your house. Okay, even, unfortunately, we have some young and enthusiastic da'is who hate disbelievers, you know, and the kuffar, and they say they're, you know, kuffar. How can you give da'wah to someone you hate? It's impossible. Okay? Now, Fir'aun had two options. Either to submit to the master or to transgress and deny. Correct? What does he choose? فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى. He denied. وَعَصَى. He disobeyed. Okay? He chose to follow his desires. Okay? Light against what? What against all the message of Musa alayhi salam? What about the Quraysh? What did they decide? Similar thing, right? Denial. ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى. Now, Allah is describing to us the scene of Fir'aun. Just try to imagine there's a camera that's following Fir'aun now. So he decided to deny the signs and to disobey. ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى. He turned his back to Musa. يَسْعَى. And he started running fast or walking fast. Allah is describing panic mode for Fir'aun. Why? Because what just happened in the scene where the magicians were competing against Musa? The magicians fell into sajda. His biggest, you know, weapon against Musa failed. And who saw this act? All of the people of Egypt, pretty much. Because they were gathered in like a carnival. So everybody saw this act. So wasn't Fir'aun humiliated? Wasn't he now a bit concerned that maybe there will be a ripple effect, a domino effect? If the magicians did sajda, then what about the people who saw this? And so panic mode. So he turned it back, starts walking. And you know, people, when they walk fast, it's because they're thinking. And Allah describes the word adbara, which is so beautiful. There's tadbir, which means to think and plan carefully. Adbara is to plan quickly, without thinking. And when you do adbara, then you make stupid mistakes, stupid decisions. Because what? Time is short, you're panicked, you're not thinking straight. And so you make dumb decisions. And so what dumb decisions did Fir'aun do? He started threatening his people. If you believe in Musa, I will cut your body parts apart. This is recorded in the Quran. I will cut your arms and your legs apart. I will crucify you on tree trunks. Is that smart? No, that's dumb, right? You can't instill fear in people who are awakening. Because that increases it helps them disbelieve you even more. Because your credibility is going low now. You're using fear to get people to believe you. Before they were convinced, now you're using fear. And so, this threatening is a very bad, very, you know, poor decision that Fir'aun does. ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى فَحَشَّرَ فَنَادَى. What does Fir'aun do? Another mistake. He gathers the people. فَحَشَّرَ, which means to gather actually animals. Allah is describing to us that Fir'aun used to treat his people like animals, like herd. حَشَّرَ. فَحَشَّرَ فَنَادَى. And he called on to them. What did he say to them? Another big mistake. فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am your master, the higher master. Musa's calling to a master, I am the higher master. Okay, another big mistake he's doing. In public, he is reaffirming what he has been teaching them all these years. That's a sign of weakness, isn't it? Right, when you have to reaffirm that you are Rabb, that means Fir'aun is losing credibility now. People are starting to disbelieve and he has to gather them together. This happens in presidential elections all the time. You know, presidents always gather people in times when they feel that they're losing votes. What do? Call for a press conference. Put out a YouTube video to get people to gain confidence in me. This happens all the time in politics. فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an example for him for those people who came later and those people who came in the past. Nakal actually is used for shackles. You know how like prisoners, sometimes they're tied to one another with chains and shackles? Why do they do that? Because you can't move. You're forced to move with others. You move in groups. And it instills fear in you. It's discomfort. So Allah is saying that, فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him. Took him as an example. How did he take him? By making him drown. Remember, when the sea split, أَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. And in this taking is an example for those who come later and for those who come earlier. Why did Allah say later first and then earlier nations? Allah is saying there's an example for people who came later. Who came later? We came later, right? We are the nations that came later. What is the example here? Allah is alluding to the fact that we will have Fir'auns in our lives also. We will have many Fir'auns in our hearts. We will have moments in our life where we will want to transgress. We will have moments in our life where we will not want to be slaves of Allah. We will want to do what our nafs desires. We will have moments in our life where we become mini Firauns. Okay, so Allah is talking about Musa and Firaun's story, but we have to relate to it in our times. How is the Prophet ﷺ relating to it? Who is the Firaun of his times? The Quraysh, right? His enemies. Just like Firaun panicked and started plotting against Musa, Quraysh panicked. And what did they start doing? They started using accusations, character assassination of the Prophet ﷺ. If that didn't work, then they started plotting to kill him. That's what resulted in Hijrah. Okay, that's what happens when you panic. And so, in this whole story, there was good news for the Prophet ﷺ. Relax. If they're denying the Day of Judgment, relax. Just like I took care of Musa against Fir'aun, I'm going to take care of you against your people. Fir'aun was a much, much bigger problem. Quraysh is easy. Relax. It's not a big deal. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَىٰ. A beautiful conclusion to the story now. Verily, in that is a ibra. Ibra comes from abara, which means to cross a bridge. Okay? To cross a bridge or cross a river. And in crossing a river, there's a change of perspective. So it's as if Allah is saying, by listening to the story of Musa and Fir'aun, if you are someone of thought, if you are someone who wants to cleanse yourself spiritually and intellectually, then you will make that shift. You will decide to change your life now. Ibra means changing perspective, paradigm shift. From someone who is a disbeliever to someone who is a believer. For someone who is denying the ayat of Allah to someone who accepts and enslaves himself. And ibra also means, you know, when you when tears fall down your eyes, they cross down your cheek. That's also called ibra. Sometimes you hear a nice advice, you hear a really touching story, you watch a really touching video. What happens to your eyes? They start tearing. Why? Because that message had ibra in it. It had a deep impact on you. So Allah is saying, through these stories that He just told us, these ayat that just came across us, if we think deeply, that's what's supposed to happen. You see how Quran is supposed to impact us? The fact that we aren't doing that, the fact that we're not crying, means what? Our hearts are still hard. But what happens towards the end of Ramadan? What do you notice towards the end of Ramadan and the Ashur Awakhir, the last 10 nights? Everybody starts crying in Salah. Everybody's making dua and crying, like babies. Why? Because throughout Ramadan, Allah is cleansing our hearts. He's softening our hearts. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives us 1 month every year to go through this cleansing process. In the beginning, yes, our hearts are still the third day of Ramadan, third, fourth day. Still hard, you know, still Allah's polishing the hearts. You know, there's a little bit of polishing to do. There's a lot of rust. But towards the end, the last 10 nights, man, everything is polished. It's clean. The dua goes directly into the heart and ibra happens. The qira'ah of the salawat and the taraweeh and the qiyam, directly. There's direct access. Nurun ala nur. Ibra happens. But what happens in Eid then? We go and we, you know, pollute our hearts again with the same old filth and same junk. Whereas we're supposed to continue cleansing after Ramadan. أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ. Now part four. أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءَ بَنَاهَا. Part four is talking about reflection on ayat. Now let's refresh again. Why do we need to reflect on ayat? I keep telling you this over and over again. Because Allah keeps saying this over and over again. Think. Because knowledge alone is not enough, brothers and sisters. We need to be people of thought. We need to be people who think deeply about the favors of Allah on us. About the fact that we need to be appreciative. About these signs, these stories. We need to be people of thought. Because only when you think will attitude change. Only when you think will your behavior change. Knowledge alone is not enough. أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا. Think about it. Are you أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا? Are you, you know, bigger creators of the skies than myself? Are you bigger creators than me? I have created the skies. أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا? أَمِ السَّمَاءَ بَنَاهَا. We build what? We build houses, we build bridges, we build buildings, right? Skyscrapers. Allah is saying, this is what you build. I build seven heavens. Who is a grander builder? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءَ بَنَاهَا. And as Allah is telling us to reflect on how high the sky is. how high the sky is. We can't even see the roof, right? And by the way, in construction, we learned that the most difficult part is to elevate the roof, because you need pillars and you need like this design. So Allah's saying, my skies you won't even be able to see. Everything above us. And notice now, even the rhyme scheme changed. Remember? فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَىٰ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَىٰ أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ بَنَاهَا. Now, ha will come. Okay, it's change of rhymes now, which means change of subject. رَفَعَ سَمْكَهَا فَسَوَّاهَا. He elevated Samk. Samk is the hump of the camel. Okay? Allah elevated the roof for us. فَسَوَّاهَا. He balanced it out. He balanced the stars and the planets. All these planets and, you know, stars, they're orbiting in perfect balance. وَأَخْطَشَ لَيْلَهَا وَأَخْرَجَ ضُحَاهَا. And He made the darkness of the night. أَخْطَشَ لَيْلَهَا وَأَخْرَجَ ضُحَاهَا. And He made bright daylight come out of darkness. Okay, Allah is contrasting between night and day, comparing life without guidance to life with guidance. Your life in rebellion versus life in slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دَحَاهَا. And He made the earth دَحَاهَا. Dahya is basically an ostrich's egg, which is very smooth and big and egg-shaped, just like the earth, dahaha. He made it flat, hinting to, remember Sahira? فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ, the Sahara Desert. Again, hinting to the fact that Day of Judgment. Okay? الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دَحَاهَا. And then أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا. He got out of the earth its water, the rivers and the springs and the seas. وَمَرْعَاهَا. And all the, you know, the crops and the food that we eat from, the vegetation and the produce for the animals. أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا. Allah is reminding us of His favors. Remember, one of the names of Rabb is Murabbi, the one who takes care of you. Part of Him taking care of us is providing for us food and vegetables and fruits and giving plants produce for the animals to eat from. This is part of Allah's ni'am. Allah is instilling the idea of rububiyyah in us, that He is the master, He loves us, He takes care of us. وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَاهَا. And He made the mountains like anchors, like, you know, those mountain pegs. Mountains were pegs, right? And this Allah is describing أَرْسَاهَا, which is anchors. Ships throw down anchors to make them stable, right? To stabilize them. Similarly, Allah's saying, وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَاهَا. Why did He do this? مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. This is all مَتَاعًا, from مُتْعَ, which means enjoyment. مَتَاعًا also means tools. So all of these are, number one, enjoyment for us, and number two, tools for us to use. مَتَاعًا is tools that we use in this dunya. Tools that will not go with us in the grave. مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ. Everything Allah has created for us and for our لِأَنْعَامِكُمْ, for your cattle. Okay? Again, emphasizing on the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Now part 5, the conclusion. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَىٰ. And when the big, serious calamity will come. طَامَّة is a serious, serious, grand calamity. When it arrives, جَاءَت means it's going to come. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَىٰ. The grand arrival of the calamity. What is He talking about? The Day of Judgment. يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَىٰ. On that day, the insan will remember his deeds. يَتَذَكَّرُ. He will thoroughly remember. Not يَذَّكَّرُ. يَتَذَكَّرُ. There's a ta addition here to emphasize that thoroughly he will recall. There will be like a playback of his entire life and all the things he did in his life, good and bad. يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَىٰ. Sa'i means to, you know, we do sa'i in Safa and Marwa, in Umrah, right? Rushing. So every single human being is rushing towards something. Some of us are rushing to the masjid to pray. Some of us are rushing to the dars of Quran. Some of us are rushing to the shisha place. Some of us are rushing to the football match. Some of us are rushing to the cinema. Some of us are rushing to the nightclub. So Allah is saying, all this rushing, you will remember it. Whether it's good pacing or bad pacing, you will remember it thoroughly on the Day of Judgment. وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَىٰ. And Allah will prepare الجحيم, which is hellfire,
لِمَنْ يَرَى. Jahim will be looking at you eye to eye. Subhanallah. The same hellfire that the disbelievers denied on the Day of Judgment, they will be looking at it eye to eye. Imagine that scene. Allah won't have to say anything. Allah won't say, you denied the Day of Judgment, let me show you something. Allah will just bring it out. وَبُرِّزَتْ الْجَحِيمِ. Burrizat means when something is hidden, you just bring it out. So you know how they say a picture is worth 1,000 words? Allah doesn't have to give them a lecture about the Day of Judgment. They've been denying it their entire life. On the Day of Judgment, all Allah is going to do is bring Jahannam, and Jahannam will be staring them in the eyes. Khalas, their answer is given. فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى. Now these are the conclusions. فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. As for the one who transgresses his limits. Remember we said, the slave in Surah Al-Fatiha, we decided, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ يَا Allah. Yes, you have given us freedom of choice. Yes, you have given us freedom to choose. But إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ يَا Allah, I choose to become your slave. I choose to live my life within your limits. But Allah here is talking about فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى, the one who crossed the limits. وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Not only did he cross the limits, he preferred dunya over akhirah. So Allah here is talking about a serious concept that we as Muslims have in our lives today. We have given priorities of dunya over akhirah, right? In our lives. It's time to pray and the cricket match is going on. What do you give priority to, dunya or akhirah? It's time to spend quality time with your parents, or it's time to go to the nightclub. What do you spend time doing? Which is a priority for you? Do you, watch a useless movie, or do you spend some time studying the Quran? Okay? Life is all about choices we make. Every moment of our day is choices. And it is up to us to decide whether we invest in akhirah or invest in dunya. Now, we don't mean by this that we leave dunya and only focus on akhirah and read Quran and salah and dhikr and that's it. And we go in the mountains and we just do dhikr. No. We balance. We use this dunya. Allah just said earlier, mata'an lakum, right? This dunya is a means for enjoyment. Of course, you can play football and basketball and go out to the park with your kids and eat ice cream and go to Jasmi's and whatever. But when it's time for salah, priority. I have my time for Quran. I have time to spend with my family. I have time for my dhikr. I have time for my spirituality. I have time for my intellectual cleansing. Okay, so you prioritize. So every single one of us, we need to ask ourselves, are we giving priority to akhirah over dunya or dunya over akhirah? Because Allah here is saying, the one who gives priority to akhirah over dunya, فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Jahim will be his end. He will return, his return will be to Jahim. It's a scary ayah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ. Now the contrast. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. As for the one who fears standing in front of his master, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. As for the one who fears standing in front of his Rabb, وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And that's not enough. And he prevented his nafs from the hawa. I'm going to spend the last 5 minutes talking about this concept. As for the one who prevented his nafs from following his desires. This is the serious and the biggest problem that we are facing today as Muslims and believers. Is that we have a nafs inside of us, a nafs al-ammara bisu', the nafs that wants to sleep when it's time for fajr, the nafs that wants to go and watch a movie instead of reading the Quran, the nafs that wants to watch filth and shamelessness rather than lowering the gaze, the nafs that wants to have illicit relationships with the opposite gender rather than getting married. This nafs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a brake system, okay? There is a braking system in all of us. For some of us, the brake has failed. We just follow our desires blindly. We have become slaves of our desires. But Allah here is talking about the believer who fears standing in front of his master. He has good brake system. Yes, his nafs will tell him to go to the nightclub, but he'll put a brake on that. Yes, his nafs will say, look at that shameless video, but he'll have a brake system and he'll close that window. Yes, his nafs will say, sleep. But he will put a brake on that and he will get up for fajr. That brake system is what every single one of us needs to work on. That only can happen when you remind yourself constantly. As for the one who's disconnected from the Quran, what's going to happen to that brake system? It's going to fail, right? And then you're going to be falling into sin after sin after sin after sin. And then what's going to happen to your heart? It's going to be polluted. It's going to be rusted. And then you won't enjoy your salah. You won't enjoy coming to a dars of Quran. You won't enjoy khushu' and salah. You won't enjoy nothing. You'll actually be annoyed when someone talks about deen to you. You'll actually be annoyed and irritated when someone talks about death. You'll be annoyed and irritated when someone talks about a depressing topic like Day of Judgment. This is a sign that your heart is blackened, it's polluted. As for the believer whose heart is clean, he wants to be reminded of death all the time. He wants to be someone who's reminded of the Day of Judgment. He wants to be someone who's studying the Quran over and over again. So for those people who fear the standing in front of their master, again, see, fear has come again. Fear is an ongoing theme in this entire surah. As for the one who fears in this dunya, he will have no fear in the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him Jannah. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Now, finally, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. Allah is addressing the Prophet in the conclusion. O Prophet, they're asking you about the Day of Judgment. When will it come? Is that a smart question or a dumb question? You know, a Sahabi actually went to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, when is the Day of Judgment? When is it coming? What's the date? The Prophet said, مَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا. Don't ask me when is the Day of Judgment. What did you prepare for it? So the dumb question is to ask, when is the Day of Judgment? Is it 2020? Is it 2022? We have movies coming out, like predicting the Day of Judgment, right? Allah's saying, don't worry about when it's going to come. Worry about what have you prepared for it. And for us, our qiyamah is the qiyamah sughra, is our death. We should be worried about death, because that could come anytime. Don't forget about 2022. Or 2050. Think about the moment of death, which can come anytime. Because the Prophet has told us, like I told you yesterday, the time between our death and the resurrection, the Day of Judgment, will be like a small nap that you take between Dhuhr and Asr prayer, your Qailula. That's how it's going to feel like. So they ask you, Ya Rasulullah, about the Day of Judgment. Allah is saying, Fima anta min dhikraha. How are you supposed to know about it? You have no clue about it, Ya Rasulullah. إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ مُنْتَهَاهَا. Your master knows about that day. And muntaha also means everyone will return to their master on that day. SubhanAllah, it's another beautiful parallel now. Allah is saying, He's our master whether we like it or not. Now it's our option. We have a choice. Either to accept Him as our master in this dunya and party in Jannah, or to deny this fact and become His slave on the Day of Judgment. إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ مُنْتَهَىٰ. Every single one of us will return to our Master on that day. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرُ مَنْ يَخْشَهَا. Ya Rasulullah, your job is to warn them. Your job is to warn those who fear the Day of Judgment. كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا. As if whenever they see the Day of Judgment. Now Allah is describing the disbelievers. When they see on the Day of Judgment, when they see the hellfire, the same hellfire they've been denying all this time, كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا. The day when they see it, they will feel like لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. They will feel like their life was just nothing but عَشِيَّةً. عَشِيَّةً is part of the night. أَوْ ضُحَاهَا, or part of the day. A small part of the day. Their entire life, they will feel like it was just one small afternoon. One small evening. That's how quick life went by. And that's a sign of regret for them. That how stupid was I? This life is such a small period of time, such a short period of time. I could have invested properly. I could have made the right choices in this limited life so that I could enjoy infinitely on the Day of Judgment and infinitely in Jannah. How stupid was I to follow my desires in this temporary world, in this temporary life? And now I have to pay the price to be in the hellfire for the rest of my life. And you know, another thing about عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. Think about people who follow their desires, right? People of hawa who enslave themselves to their desires. They're usually spending time, you know, duha is also like 10 o'clock in the morning, okay? And عَشِيَّة is part of the night, I told you, right? When do people of hawa go out? When do they party? At night, in the عَشِيَّةً. And when do they wake up? Do they wake up for Fajr? They wake up for duha, right? When it's 10 o'clock. They wake up late. So Allah is alluding to the fact that these disbelievers, you know, for them life is just about partying at night and waking up late. They're not serious about life. For them life is a party, you know. But they will pay the price for this on the Day of Judgment. And so with this we conclude this beautiful, beautiful surah. You know, a powerful reminder of the Day of Judgment. Inshallah, tomorrow we will continue. Jaz'amma. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته